Right now on Robin Hood Radio, it's time to bring in David Tarachuk. It's time for the Media Beat. David joins us on a Friday morning here on Robin Hood Radio. He's also got his own website, themediabeat.us. He also is a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. Good morning, Dave.
Well, hello. Welcome to 2020. Yeah. We're 3 days into this now. Can you believe that we've actually reached this signal decade? I never thought I'd be alive in 2020, let alone getting up in the morning to speak on the radio.
Well, you know, I say that all the time. When I turned 67, it's not that I had a death wish, but I just never imagined being around doing radio when I was 67. It just never crossed my mind. So.
For sure. And this redolent set of digits, 2020, is something that we had in a kind of vague focus for the future. Here we are in the future.
Ever since November of 2016, as a matter of fact. Oh, we live in a strange country. But
and it's beginning with a bang, is it?
I know I'm going to say something here that's going to upset a lot of my friends and people. But all I'm going to say is the following. What would you folks say if an American, let's just say, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, okay, is traveling, and let's say they're traveling in Israel, and Iran decides to take him out via a drone strike in Israel. What would Americans do? What would America do? I can tell you what America would do right now. It would be a full-fledged war. I think the precedent that has now been set, now, make no doubt about it. I'm not saying that this guy was not a bad guy, but he was a top general for another foreign country who was in Iraq. And my gosh, you talk about when I was a kid stirring up a hornet's nest. This is a very, very scary situation, in my opinion, David, with what happened.
Yes, I mean, just draining the thing of any sort of moral outrage that people might have, one side or the other. The actual real politics of it all are deeply serious. General Qasem Soleimani, who has taken Soleimani, I should say, there's a long E at the end of his name, was making a visit to the country where, of course, he on behalf of his country, Iran, exerted extraordinary influence in the government of Iraq, and also, of course, supported lots of militias at work in Iraq. He was, as you say, on a visit to another country, a country that he had deep and very effective, like it or not, role to play there. He was, as you say, the equivalent of a Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman for us. He was the leader of the Quds force, the most obvious and in a parallel somewhat to the special operations of the United States and the SAS of Great Britain. He was also, you might say, the equivalent at the same time of the National Security Advisor to the President. He happened to be the President's best friend, in many people's view, too. And there's no getting away from this either. He was regarded by a vast majority of the Iranian people as a national hero, too. So it's an extremely serious takeout in the terms of special operations people themselves. Taking him out, and also, of course, the head of one of the most important Iranian-supported militias in Iraq, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, plus the PR guy for the whole group of militias that Soleimani helped to support. It was one hell of a hit, and of course now the Americans have to, as they, I guess, knew they would have to, but they've suddenly, only suddenly now, gotten to it. they're evacuating their own embassy in Baghdad, regarding it inevitably as a new target, not just a potential target. It's almost a foregone conclusion that American embassies will now be targets once again. And of course, the one in Baghdad most of all out of any of them. So yeah, it's a severe ratcheting up of what was already a Cold War, now gotten very hot.
It's all I can say. It's madness, sheer madness, because I'm not against the United States Army, because this person was responsible for a lot of military deaths of Americans and other, not only in Iraq but in other places. But if you want to target somebody, it seems to break all conventions of anything that would have to be to the United States that you would have a drone strike on a third country's airport to take out somebody from another country, no matter how they're connected. It seems that there was no thought about the consequences and the immediate consequences. You know, you read they're now trying to evacuate Americans from embassy, all Americans to leave Iraq. Well, guess what? That message should have gone out days ago.
Except, of course, it would have tipped the hand of the U.S. military who were planning to take the guy out. Sure, but I mean, they couldn't have done it ahead of time. But I think it certainly looks a little strange that it took them so long after the explosion for them to start taking remedial or protective action on behalf of their own. The embassy staff and indeed all the American community in Baghdad and in Iraq as a whole. It smacks of recklessness. There's a kind of unplanned or apparently unplanned. It looks as if it was a hastily planned event with no planning. For the immediate aftermath, which I guess should not really surprise anybody about this current United States administration. But I guess it was a calculation of a kind, and now we're living with the results of that calculation, whether it was a wise one or not. These are now the new facts on the ground. That we're essentially in a warlike posture on both sides.
Well, now we have to sit here and wait for whatever retaliation is going to begin. And the amazing thing about today's world is it's so small, is in my opinion, retaliation will go against the American military forces wherever they might be. But you cannot, in today's modern world, rule out retaliations here in this country or in other, let's say, NATO countries that we have ambassadors or people of high standing. It just seems to have just opened up Pandora's box that no longer will be closed. I mean, there's plenty of ways.
Yeah, sure. No one with an ounce of security issue awareness for that part of the world and an awareness of Iran's own track record will think for one moment that only military targets will be in the crosshairs of the Iranians. Now, of course, there is almost bound to be attacks on civilians, and I will not be surprised to see that happening in remote parts of the world, apparently far unconnected to the Middle East.
It's I look at drone warfare is an extremely clean way not to get your soldiers killed. I understand that.
In the first instance.
In the first instance, yeah. I mean, but it has gone to the point now. Iran has drones as well. This is the
they've been demonstrating that very clearly in the last few months. Yes, indeed.
This is you know, even Saudi Arabia, when they had those drone attacks on all their oil wells, even Saudi Arabia didn't respond with a drone attack against Iran's the guy who probably planned the drone attack, or wherever he was. I mean, it's just, to me, it seems inconceivable that you would kill a general of somebody's army, a head general, on somebody else's soil when you're not at war with them. We live in a strange time. It used to be Congress used to have to approve you going to war or doing stuff like this, and this is part of the problem that we face now with our Congress and our Senate. They have let their powers erode so much over the past 20 years that just about anything can happen without their approval.
Yeah, the commentariat, I mean, we're you know, as we are meant to talk about the media, the commentariat has been quick to say that this was an exercise in calculus that is at the very least high risk. What the rest of the political apparatus of the country has to say about it, we shall see in the next 24 hours, I suppose. But what's become clear, as you say, that Congress is not really in a position anymore because of its own self-limiting actions over the last 3 years. Is showing no capacity for congressional oversight anymore on this administration in so many different areas, but in a vital one of military action, it's mum. And effectively, I mean, I know contenders on the other side of the aisle for the role of presidency. Of the presidency have been, of course, quick to condemn this, but that's what you'd expect, especially in an election year coming up. Everything becomes fodder for political controversy and opportunities to put down the president who you hope to beat. But what's clear is that Congress as a whole and its institutional role, especially when it comes to war, that age-old capacity, in fact, responsibility of the Congress to be a check upon the executive action when it comes to declaring war and waging war, is now worn wafer thin, if it exists at all anymore. And we have a chief executive who seems to believe entirely in himself as the sole CEO of the country, and including, of course, the armed forces. That's not traditionally how he's supposed to operate. But of course, there's nothing new in him being unprecedented, as he once wrote himself, mixing up the words, for precedent and president. By being unprecedented, he's in some ways being very unpresidential too.
You know, I've heard the comments. This person was a designated terrorist. Yeah, designated by us, basically, but he was a terrorist. There's no doubt about it. Was he as the main, basically military commander in Iran? Was he operating in different countries in that Iran has relations with? Absolutely, he was. The organization, once again, was pointed out, was designated a terrorist organization. All those things are absolutely true. And Jill even points out that we've had numerous opportunities in the past to take him out, and we haven't. But because they call it a proxy, which I think is a bunch of BS, I just can't see using a drone strike after you've just had in Iraq, a major demonstration out front of our embassy, and the demonstration, yes, was mostly Iranians, but you know,
and Iranian supported militia members, yes,
absolutely. But that would be like saying we had a bunch of Americans protesting somewhere, and somebody just took a drone strike out to take out one person. It just doesn't seem to make any sense at all, because his position will be replaced probably by somebody.
Well, he's already been replaced by his own deputy, and the announcement from the president of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, has been very clear. He says the program of Quds, the force that Soleimani was in charge of, will continue as it has continued. There's no doubt about that. There will be a complete continuation on the Iran on behalf of the Iranians, and there's very little doubt, as we've been saying, and I think the media of the entire world watching are agreed in their commentary on this, that there will be response. And that, now there's such a media hullabaloo about all of this, as you're saying. But we mustn't forget that there is always, when it comes to attacks of one nation on another, a fine calculus to be engaged in, to measure things like the risk to oneself in taking a strong action against an opponent. And I don't think that calculus in this case was at all refined in any sense. What's pretty clear from this, and the immediate reaction afterwards, is that this was an example of the Trumpian style altogether, bluster and erratic bluffing a lot of the time, plus sudden rushes of possibly reckless military action. And another act to emphasize that we are living in extremely turbulent and extremely disturbing and very hard to predict military atmosphere, the militarized atmosphere. I mean, we are here now facing a tremendous risk. And the president has been very clear, and everyone who's been briefed in a journalistic sense about the actions is very clear also, that this was the personal order of the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And that's the world we're living in now. And the degree of risk that we now put ourselves in, ourselves as a nation, is entirely that one individual's responsibility. And it's a measure of how 2020 is, I'm afraid, very likely to keep on going. This pattern is one that's already not exactly unfamiliar. Although we keep saying we're in uncharted waters, the waters we're in get more and more uncharted, and will do throughout this coming year, I'm sure.
You know, and to people that say, well, we used military forces to take out Osama bin Laden. First of all, Osama bin Laden wasn't a major member of a government's cabinet, first of all. Second of all, what he did not only killed Americans, but killed thousands of people of lots of different nationalities in the World Trade Center attacks. That was a direct attack on us. We were after him and we went in with armed forces. They're two totally different situations, the killing of Osama bin Laden.
Indeed, a very carefully mounted exercise that involved other countries too, and some degree of collaboration with the host country in which the operation took place. I think there's no doubt about it that this operation against Soleimani was very much a hugger-mugger operation that has the. And it smacks certainly of a very personalized form of war waging.
How many countries would have loved to use a drone strike to take out Dick Cheney for his actions when he was vice president? How many? And how would this country have reacted? And I'm no big Dick Cheney fan, but I'll tell you right now, had someone taken out our vice president or one of our leaders of the Department of Defense, you know exactly how 99.9% of us would feel. This is the removal of reality that we have in today's social media and social climate, that these things are becoming commonplace. It's scary.
Yeah, let's put the social media response on one side. Excuse me. The response of social media should be playing no role in the evaluations of where we go from here. Those in office need to bear in mind. However, I do fear that. Part of what was going on in this president's mind may well have been, I will stir up my social media base by this. And that's all to my benefit, my personal benefit, as I go into this year when I hope to get reelected. I fear that may be well part of the calculus, which is almost shameful if you think about it.
And he can't hide from it because he tweeted the American flag when this attack first started come to light from news outlets in Iraq and Iran. So it was used as a social media push up, and then he's going to have another rally tonight. I just, you know, all I can say is the one word, and it's madness. What's going on in the world right now? There is sooner or later not going to be a safe place for anybody, whether you're a citizen of a country or a member of the armed forces or a former member of the armed forces. I'm 67 years old, and I've lived through. I was old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. My uncle was on a ship, waiting to invade Cuba. I've seen a lot in my 67 years, but I can absolutely say I was dumbfounded the way this was carried out. And then the official press release from the Department of Defense was the President of the United States ordered the U.S. military. The release didn't even come properly from the president's office. It leave it to the military to release it.
Well, yeah. An obsequious military, it would appear. I wonder what the argument was beforehand against the action. I suspect that there were cooler heads amongst the military advisors to the president. I suspect also that they were not listened to.
No, and I know I hate to say this, but from the Drudge Report, I can tell you right now, once again, John Bolton has called for regime change in Tehran. Jesus, this is not our lot in life to change regimes. I'm sorry that we don't like it. I'm dumbfounded. That's all.
Well, a lot of people are today, a lot of people, I think, within the administration too, are those who are trying to conduct the business of the nation in a reasonable manner. I think likely to throw up their hands and say, "Is it worth it trying to restrain the impulses of the chief executive who can be so unruly?" We will have to wait and see. Maybe one part of the reaction to this whole thing is that people will start to see how dangerous and how risky having a president like this is, and it may have some effect, that kind of warning effect on the conduct of the presidential campaign.
Just take a look at where this year's began. Donald Trump's big get-together with North Korea has turned out to be a total flop, and they're just as dangerous as ever. This, which
ramping up their abilities again to make mischief internationally. Yes, indeed.
And a trade war with China, and also a toning down of our. Of our participation with NATO. I mean,
and something very close to a trade war with Europe developing too, of course. Yes,
it's been a hell of a way to end one year and start another year, and you just wonder. It seems like there are no controls to long-term thought in our immediate government. I mean, it's happened before. With different presidents, not only this president, there's just no planning for the future. And it's like dominoes. Once one domino falls and they're all lined up, it's not bad when you only have three dominoes. But if you have 1,000 dominoes and you tip the first one, it doesn't end.
No, and the crashing of the dominoes around us is a noise we've gotten terribly familiar with, and I fear we're going to hear it throughout this. The clattering is going to get noisier and noisier as the election approaches too. And I don't think we shouldn't be surprised if this. If the Oval Office turns out to, originate more reckless acts, and as the stakes get higher, politically speaking, that's one of the most alarming things about this this administration is how personalized it is in the figurehead at the top, and how reckless the entire conduct of the business of government has become.
And what's fascinating is we're going to, we've got 8 months to go. B, I will bet anybody who wants to take it the entire budget of this radio station that by the time we get to five, I don't even know about 5 weeks, but we'll be talking about something else. And I was going to say 5 months. But we'll be talking about something else entirely.
Absolutely. Well, before the election, I think the election is going to dominate just about every political decision that is taken in this country, and by many of our allies too. I think it's hard to underestimate the effect of people's forward-looking, somewhat aghast forward-looking at the possibility of four more years of Trump. I think that's going to concentrate a lot of people's thinking very hard.
Well, if you add up all that money, the tallies came out, and anyone can see the Bernie's $34 million and this one and Pete's 24 in a quarter. What was it? 34 and 24 and 22 and
we're talking unprecedented numbers.
Millions of dollars in one quarter, right? It starts to give you the idea that not only is this an industry, but it's rather agenda-driven. I would like to ask one other question. We've got 1 minute, all right? David, do you think that anybody should have known the name of the former general prior to today? When I say anybody, I mean just regular
citizens. Qasem Soleimani?
Yeah.
Well, of course. Well, it's interesting. I think perhaps I don't know about shoulds. Shoulds are a difficult thing to evaluate. We should have known him. Everyone should have known him. Everyone in Israel knows his name.
Exactly.
There's no question about that. People who care about the interaction between nations certainly care. The problem is, of course, with the general reading and viewing public in the United States is that they don't actually inform themselves very well. And maybe this is one example where they need to learn and learn fast.
Well, unfortunately, they'll know his name now.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, The Media Beat.
Thank you.